Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Money Talk Show. This is your station for talk and business, AM 790. This is Steve Bove at the helm tonight, not Don Sowa. Don Sowa tomorrow night, if he's feeling better, and a little bit of a cold flu been going around, kind of hit the office and the office, the grandbabies, you name it. Probably many of you as well have been feeling that. Markets were sort of mixed today. The Dow Jones gained 32 points to 20,775. The NASDAQ down 5 points at 5,800, and the S&P 500 at 2,302. The real hot story right now is emerging markets. Year to date, some of these investments have gained 10% or more, and the U.S. S&P 500 is up about 4. That's really good, and we're happy about that. But it's being overshadowing, I think, the bigger story. Rising interest rates tend to help emerging markets. If you didn't sell your 30-year treasuries a year ago, like we talked about, they're down about 15% in value in the last 6 months. Can you imagine having money you put in 30-year U.S. government treasury bonds because it's safe, right? And in 6 months, you lose 15% of the value. Could be minus 30 by the end of the year. Now, people say, and this is one of the lead topics for tonight, how can that possibly be an investment that's guaranteed? Well, it's guaranteed if you hold it the whole 30 years. It's not guaranteed year to year. If you want to sell your treasuries along the journey prior to their maturity, the price you'll get is what the market will bear. And when interest rates go up, new bonds pay higher rates than your bonds, so that makes your bonds worth a little bit less, not worthless, but worth a little bit less. So if in the last 6 months you've seen a shocking decline in your bond values, it's because you've got long-term bonds, which should have been at least reduced or diversified by now. This is one of the dangers of investing on your own.
Have a growth and an appreciation in the value of the asset, but as well also having income come from the asset as well.
Right, but the dividend is the main reason for its existence.
Exactly.
If you had bonds the last 10 years that made more than the dividend, that was because interest rates were dropping. That will not reoccur. The last 10 years was the best 10-year period in history for performance in the traditional bond market. I am here to predict that the next 10 years should be the worst 10 years ever to follow that. A little quick story. The 1990s, the S&P 500 averaged 17% per year for 10 years. The next 10 years, it averaged zero. Things tend to revert back to a reversion to the mean, is what it's called in the world of mathematics. It means if a long-term investment has an average of 8%, and then it has a period where it makes double that, something else equally and opposite negative must occur in the time frame in order to return the long-term average to its proper level. And so whenever you see something performing like that, we would like you to think about selling it rather than buying more of it. That's really the chasing the return mistake that many people can make. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790. Steve Bove, certified financial planner professional. Nathan Bove, my guest as well, in training to be the same. We'll say that for now. Very, very busy young man. Wednesday night, we are inviting local folks in who have taken the leap to start their own careers, take a risk, be self-employed. The down economy we had in 08 and 09, of course, was a time when a lot of people think about those things. I can relate to the whole thing. I've been self-employed since I was about 22 years old. My father was self-employed his whole life, and my son, who's here now, is self-employed also at a young age. Dad was a mechanic, auto mechanic, and a super-duper one. And Nathan and I, of course, are financial people. But we know a few things about cars, right, Nate?
You know more than I do, that's for sure.
Well, I worked in my father's garage when I was a kid, so I learned a lot doing that. Thanks, Dad, for that education. That's, till this day, still very, very invaluable. But tonight, we're going to be talking about marketing. We're going to be talking, saying hello to Ben DaCosta of Big Ben's Marketing and Consulting. Ben works in the marketing area, advising people on how to advertise and grow their business, specializing in social media.
That's right.
And all the things I don't know much about.
That's right.
That's not my era.
Well, you know, we talked about this.
Newspaper and radio was my day.
We talked about this before. You know, we wanted to start doing a segment on the show where we could reach out to people who were considering going into business for themselves. And we thought, well, best way to do that would be get people and talk about their experiences. You know, what were some of the things that they did? Maybe they made some mistakes they could relate to and express maybe some challenges.
Didn't it help you have a little more faith that you could be self-employed because you heard it and saw it?
Sure. I mean, I was self-employed. I've been self-employed for a long time. If you go back to even when I was
teaching
my music lessons, was all 1099 income. And
right.
It was depending on how many students I taught that week. That's how I got paid. I didn't get paid by the hour. I got paid by how many students I taught.
I remember telling people on occasion that I haven't known exactly what my paycheck would be in any given two-week period for 34 years.
Yeah, exactly. It can be a little freaky, you know,
Sure. But I always like the control over it. I like it being on me. That's the part I like.
Well, there's
like
a tremendous amount of freedom.
Also,
along with it, you know,
and that's a big part of what we like about it.
But anytime you're presented with freedom and choices, it
can go both ways.
That's
right. That's right. This is the Money Talk Show. If you want to talk about being self-employed, if you're recently just done it, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a little shout out on the radio here. But if we can answer some questions, we've got marketing people in the office in the studio tonight with Ben here, and Nathan, of course, is younger and hipper than I am on this stuff. And I have quite a bit of background in marketing, but, you know, in my day, in my era, and it's a little bit different now, clearly, I'm a guy that doesn't even like to buy anything online. That's how old I am.
You were you were in charge of a lot of the marketing for the firm, right?
I was for 15 years.
Yeah, right.
I did it all, With Don's guidance, he really taught me all that stuff.
Right,
it was really kind of him working through me.
I like that story you told me about, was it the TF Green Airport? You'd go in and change the display? Was that something about the...
We did do that for a while, and we ended up donating that to the Special Olympics eventually.
Oh, okay, cool.
But one of the ideas I share with you, this is old stuff. Ben's going to get a kick out of this one. We used to run an ad in the Providence Journal for the firm every Sunday. And all of a sudden, one day, I just called them up and said, okay, I want to run it every other Sunday. And a year later, anytime I saw people or clients, they'd say, hey, I see your ad every Sunday. And no one noticed that it was every other Sunday, and I cut the cost in half, and it seemed like the impact was the same.
Hmm.
Now, eventually, over time, I think it'll be obvious it's every other Sunday. But when people get to see it on a regular basis, I had people telling me a year after I hadn't run it every week that I see your ad every week. And it had been a year since I had been running it that often. So little things like that, but the paper print and what we were used to during the last 30 years, quite different now.
Right.
Quite different now. But marketing is important. You know, one of the things Don and I said in the beginning of starting the company was it really does not matter how good you are at anything if there's no one in your waiting room waiting to talk to you.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. So marketing is everything, folks. And I do believe you got to spend some money. I think when we get to bring Ben into the conversation, he's going to tell people. A lot of people, in the marketing mistake is they wait till they think they can afford it more easily.
Yeah, it's got to be part of your budget.
It's got to be part of your budget. It's just like saving for yourself. You don't leave savings till the end. You got to make it part of your structure. And I think if you do that in marketing and stick with it over time, it will work. I think a presence is necessary, and people have to hear the name, over and over again, over time. They've been comfortable enough that they will call you up and ask you for an audience or to get involved in that kind of stuff. Again, the markets were pretty mixed today. Markets look the way they're looking right now to me, usually when they're kind of high. I do believe the U.S. stock market is very nicely priced, which means I'm not buying a lot of it right now. I actually have probably less U.S. stocks in my client accounts than I've had in about 10 years, and that's because of my interest in emerging markets that I think with rising rates in the U.S., that's going to give us a couple of good years there. We're already starting off quite nicely into it. Again, the S&P 500 so far this year, up about 5%. And some of these emerging market funds are up 12, 14, 10%. Emerging markets are like children. They're high energy, very exciting, a lot of fun. They move fast, and they crash into walls.
Very volatile.
Very volatile, right. As Nathan said one night, we were talking about history. We were an emerging market one time, good old US of A,
right? Absolutely, yeah.
And we had red coats, and back then we were an emerging market. And countries grow. GDPs and stock markets tend to grow a lot faster. As a matter of fact, the current global forecast indicate that pretty much, not exclusively, but almost exclusively, the only countries of the world that are projecting a GDP growth going forward the next 15 years at a level high enough to produce impressive stock market returns are all the emerging markets of the world. Most of the domestic developed nations like U.S., Japan, Europe, they're projecting GDP growth in the 2 range.
It's harder to move a larger object. When it gets
yes,
big,
it is. And that's just like, I'm 57, I'm not growing anymore. Hopefully, sometimes you grow wide.
Right.
But I'm not going to grow up anymore. I'm fully grown, and so are you when you're only in your 30s.
Right.
So emerging markets are like children, which means in your portfolio, don't go put your whole portfolio there. I wouldn't exceed 20%. Of a portfolio in the emerging markets. Emerging markets is a region of the world. It's not an individual stock, so I do think up to a 20% position I'm pretty comfortable with there, especially if you choose one like I have for my own portfolio and my clients. It has a nice dividend. So if you, it's nice to have an investment that you hope it goes up, and you really believe that it will, and history says that it will. But if it doesn't, you still get 5% in dividend every year, no matter what. You know, so as I get older, and a lot of clients my age, I'm close to 60, really like to hear this. My portfolio at my age looks like an apartment building. Yeah, the building will go up in the long run in value, but I want rents now. I want gains now. I want to see it doing something now. And I didn't think like that when I was your age, Nathan. It was much more aggressive, plow the money in.
Buying raw land.
It's like that's what investors are for young people. Right. Raw land doesn't produce income. It just sits there. You hope it goes up in value. In the meantime, you get a tax bill, a maintenance problem. Somebody crosses it and falls down and gets sued and sues you, and it's not producing any income. So land is like the investments that are okay for younger people. But as we get a little bit older, and that's me now, if you'd like your money to look like an apartment building, give us a call after the break, and we'll be right back.
Delivering your business message and building valuable assets. Business Roundtable with Joe Hozepa, Fridays at 4 p.m. here on AM 790 Talk and Business. This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Money Talk Show on AM 790. This is your station for talk and business. Wednesday evening is usually Financial History Night on the program, and that's headed by Nathan Bove. And then once a month?
Once a month now, the last Wednesday of the month, we're going to bring in local entrepreneurs and talk about being self-employed.
I love it.
All right, tonight's our guest is Ben DeCastro, who runs a marketing firm called Big Ben Marketing and Consulting. Ben, thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Talk us a little bit about what your business does and how you got into it.
Well, for the past 15 years before I launched in June of 2016, I was the marketing PR guy for Cardi's Furniture.
Okay.
Promotions, events, PR, the funny ads that people, you know, love and enjoy on some of your favorite mediums there, TV and radio. And as I was there, you know, from 2001 to 2016, you know, really the evolution of social media made quite a breakthrough.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was time to make a change, and had a great opportunity. And so I said, let's give it a shot. You know, discussed it with my wife. And what I do now is I primarily, aside from making my own crazy and insane videos for social media and the web, I work with companies to help them figure out how to use social media. You know, before we went to, in the last break, we were talking about interruptive marketing and integrated marketing. You know, you think back into the day, even on radio and on TV, you used to have that voice that would come over, "We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a message from our sponsors."
Well,
that's interruptive marketing. You still have that today. It's very viable. It's very important. You know, it's what makes the station run here. It makes, you know, a lot of the stations all across the world run. With social media, it's a little different. People who are on social media are there to have a good time, hopefully not get too deep into politics. But, you know, you in order to be a business on social media, you need to tell a story, deliver content, and give people a reason to follow you. I often make the comparison, if you were driving in your car right now, like a lot of people in Southern New England are driving home right now, and you heard an ad that was very descriptive and say, well, look at the lines on this vehicle, or look at this beautiful fabric on this sofa. You wouldn't realize what it is because that was an ad that's created for television, a visual. Facebook's the same way. You need to create stuff and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube and Twitch and every other platform out there.
Snapface,
your gram, my face. Bill Belichick is the expert, the ultimate expert.
I don't know how to squeeze that one in.
I love it.
You guys
love
are funny,
it.
Man.
Hey, let me tell you something. Five rings, bring it. You've got to create content specifically geared towards social media. And so what I do is I work with a variety of clients in all sorts of different backgrounds, helping them to figure out what their story is and how to best tell it.
So by the end of your tenure at Cardi's, you were doing a lot of the things that you're doing now in your own business. What motivated you to say, you know, I want to take this on my own. I don't want to have to work for the man anymore, as they say, and work for myself.
Well, let's be 100% clear.
Yep.
You saw my education background.
Yeah, I did.
I might as well have gone to Nairobi University because they taught me a ton of the things that I know.
Right, right.
You know, you had mentioned how Don Soa taught you a lot about marketing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I learned marketing and PR from, from the guys.
Sure.
So, you know, I had a really good, you know, grasp and understanding of it. And I had done a lot of different things within the company, just morphing around and depending on what the tasks were. I wasn't afraid to work and, you know, put down the shovel, pick up the pick, whatever it took. So when it came time and, you know, I've been married almost 2 years now, I discussed it with the wife, said, okay, if this is the opportunity, then let's make it happen. Let's give it a shot before before we have kids, before, you know, let's see what
younger,
happens.
The younger, the better.
Yeah.
Right, do it.
Right, right. Well, yeah, well I'm 35, so, you know,
young.
I'm still young. I'm still young. You're only 42 yourself, so you look great.
58, that's... but I don't know that I'd want to do it now. I did it in my 20s.
Sure, sure.
And I think I'm a little more afraid of it now than I was when I was younger.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a good idea to do
it. We had our last guest last month was Jessica Rose, who talked about how she went into her business and started her business
while
she was pregnant.
Right, right.
While she had.
Sure, sure.
And then she just had another one last year. So, yeah, it must be a daunting task to do it while you got kids and stuff like that. So before you have kids, I would think is a good move for sure.
It was a good opportunity. And, like I said, I've got a lot of background in doing the marketing thing, and you know, especially with social media, and I always, the first meeting I have with any client or any, when I give a presentation, I always tell them this: remember why social media was created. Remember why Facebook was created. It was created by Mark Zuckerberg to let students know on his college campus who was dating or hooking up with who.
Right, it was gossip.
That's it.
Yeah, right.
That's all it was. And there was a time where you couldn't have a Facebook account unless your last three letters of your email address was EDU.
Right, right.
And then it started growing. It started opening up. And now Facebook still is the kingpin. It's still the monster that's out there. Recently, Facebook introduced job postings. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to LinkedIn if they'll take a hit as that goes forward. But the primary demographic of a Facebook user, I mean, there's almost 2 billion of them worldwide, and it's now adults 30 plus.
Right.
The younger kids are not necessarily into it as much. They are more so into the Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitch is the one that is up and coming huge. Exactly, Twitch, yes.
I always thought that there was a weird parallel there with the parents and their kids. If the parents are on Facebook, what is that, where the kids want to be? You know,
yeah.
Where their parents are?
Probably not.
Yeah.
And that's why you're seeing
every generation wants their own cutting edge
right,
thing.
Exactly.
Well, I could tell you a story, it was must have been probably close to 2010, 2011. I wake up in the morning and I look at my phone and you get a friend request. It's from Beverly Stanford. My grandmother.
Oh, wow.
Before I accept, I contact my cousins. I said, guys, grandma's on Facebook. You will accept her friend request. I'm giving you a warning now. Anything you don't want her to see, clean it up. Let's go. Clean it up. Clean it up.
Right, yeah.
And but it's a great way for families to keep in touch and to reconnect,
for
to
sure,
see photos.
For sure,
it's wonderful.
Yeah. So. You know, one of the things Dad and I do in the office a lot with clients is analyze risk. You know, the clients come in, we have to try to determine what their comfort is with risk. Mm-hmm. When you decided last June to go into business for yourself, did it seem like you were taking a big risk? And how did you perceive that? How did you and your wife perceive that risk?
Well, I had been thinking about it for some time, and I had been doing a lot of looking into the various opportunities out there. But the bottom line of it is, you know, I was confident in myself, and we put a timeline on it. So we went
did you, Ben, did you make the transition, like give up the full-time paycheck and go, or did you do it gradually?
It's just cold turkey.
Cold turkey.
Yep, Yep.
Good for you. My kind of guy.
Yeah, we tried.
So. Yeah, that would be, I would assume, the most daunting thing for most people.
Go.
I mean, because let me ask you this: Did you pile up a nest egg to get you through those years? I mean, the first couple of years, because usually when you start a business, it takes a while before you start turning a profit.
Sure, there was some considerations made in advance, and I had a good backing, from Cardi's, and actually I had my own web show, which they helped to support. It's called Carpooling with Ben. It's on the Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And really that is one element of what I do, because again, it's content specifically for Facebook and YouTube. It's a branch of advertising for them. And, it's a great way to reach out and connect with people in a different method.
Hey, around the world, it's amazing what a different, ratio you see. Some countries are very, very much behind self-employment and they promote it. And like our country tends to be that way. Colombia, I'm looking at some information on the internet about percent of each countries of the world who has the most self-employed people. Colombia, it's like 50%. I don't want to go there, that one. I wonder what that's about. But as an example, it's 35% in Greece. That's high.
That is, seems high.
U.S. and Canada are like 8-10, that kind of thing.
Yeah, when you say the United States encourages self-employment, can you be more specific? What do you mean by that? Because I think about like self-employment tax. You got to pay self-employment tax if you're self-employed. Yeah. That doesn't seem like an encouragement to be self-employed.
Well, I mean, I think that there's a spirit in America of entrepreneurship, which has always kind of been there, versus other countries of the world. They don't necessarily promote it nor condemn it. They're kind of benign on it. Where in America, I think it's more of a... More of a believable thing to happen, so.
800-314-4789. 800-314-4789.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Wednesday night program of the Money Talk Show on AM 790, your station for talk and business. This program is on the air every evening, five nights a week. Tune in on Monday night for Don Sowa, founder of the program, Don Sowa's Money Talk. Tuesday night, Don and his daughter, nice father and daughter team. Wednesday night, of course, here Nathan and I are here. Thursday night, again, Don Sowa in a solo flight. And then I wrap things up on Friday afternoon for now anyway, right? Yeah, 30. So we'll see what's going on. 25 years on the air. My experience is 38 years as a licensed investment professional, of the last 20 years, pretty exclusively on a fee-only basis. We're not here to talk about that, though, tonight. We're not here to talk about my self-employment experience. We're here to talk about Ben's self-employment experience. Big Ben, marketing and consulting.
So, Ben, you talked about earlier trying to gradually getting into self-employment. You mentioned going at it without actually getting into it or something like that. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, it necessarily wasn't the case with what I did, but I know a lot of people that do it. When you look at a lot of the industries out there that are commission salespeople or even restaurant servers, last week on my web show I had Joe Zito, TV maitre d'. He's had a TV show for a while, and he does a lot of industry trainings, and he talks to a lot of waiters and waitresses and says, okay, the ultimate dream is to own your own restaurant. Well, why would you want to do that if you can work here and these three tables are how you can, work it and make it work? You know, when I was at Cardi's, we used to, you can be a salesperson there and do extremely well working your own network, your own contacts, and you don't have to worry about inventory and ordering the product and handling the financing, the building, installation, delivery, anything like that. You know, you find an outfit like that, and I mean, I can tell you, retail sales is a great industry to be in. And, so there is that level, and a lot of people are starting to find that. You know, if you can manage your own contacts and you can manage your own network, social media is allowing people to do that because you can, even if you're a car salesperson, you can have your own page where you deliver content to your friends and family who follow you. Now they're going to shop with you because they know you, or the same thing, whether it be your, Cardi's or wherever it is.
Yeah.
If you can develop that and not necessarily have to take on all the back end of things as far as the building expenses, food expenses, P&L, everything like
sure.
it makes a lot of sense. So there are a lot of opportunities for people to be their own entrepreneur. And, if you want to be great at what you do, it's not that hard. There's different ways you can study. I mean, you guys have been self-employed for, you know, you a number of years, Stephen, and now Nathan, as you're coming through it, you know, you're only as, you know, how much do you want to work? That's going to dictate how much you're going to make.
Sure,
and you're going to be extremely successful doing it on your own.
I think the single personality trait that's most valuable going into it is not brains, it's discipline.
Absolutely. It's, you know, I have to wake up every morning and focus. And
I think
and
a lot of people are smart enough to do it. I think a very small group has the discipline.
Yeah.
Discipline means year four, it's not working, and you still don't give up.
Yeah. No, you got to put in the legwork.
Yeah, you do, and you got to be willing to give it a lot of time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It does take time. It usually works best in a situation where you're embarking on this journey. If you're lucky enough to have a spouse, you have a spouse with the opposite situation, a job rich in benefits, stable. It's a nice countering for a spouse to be, start a business. That's the best way to do it.
Sure, sure. That's always ideal if you have that opportunity. Right. But, you know, even if you don't, if it's something you're passionate about, something you really want to do.
I'll tell you what, if you're married and you have two good jobs and two good pays and you spend every dollar of it, you'll never have a chance to be self-employed.
Yeah.
Best thing to do is try to live on one income if you can, if you're lucky enough to have two or one and a half.
Sure.
Because that way there you'll have a little bit of leverage. When you do have an opportunity, you don't need all that. You can step back a bit. Okay. But if you're living every dollar, you're kind of stuck there forever, I think.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Back to discipline again.
What you mentioned your wife, your spouse, and Dad, you said the same thing. Can you talk a little bit about the decision you had to make with your spouse? That's got to be crucial. I mean, if you're going to go into self-employment and you're being self-employed, you better be on the same page with your wife or your husband.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we discussed it. We looked at the opportunities that were out there. We looked at the what I do specifically and what I specialize in. There's not a whole heck of a lot of people out there doing it.
We had this discussion with the young lady last
time. Yeah, Jessica Rhodes last month said the same thing.
She's great, and she's a prime example because now she's got, you know, a team of people that employ. I mean, she's doing things worldwide right out of, you know, little Rhodey.
Yeah.
And, you know, her she found a great niche doing what she does, you know, really, you know, and she's just gone with it.
Very brave.
Yeah, very brave. But she's very smart. She knows how to work it. You can't undercut yourself. Yeah,
it comes down to vision.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, and strategy. Yeah, you have to have a plan.
Being able to predict, I think, where your market's going to go and staying ahead of the curve is a big thing. So in your industry,
that's the visionary part of it.
Yeah. You know, can you talk a little bit about where you see the business going? I mean, it's changed so much in the last 10 years. I mean, could it change even more in the next 10 years?
Certainly. And you know, the every day when I go on Facebook myself, I realize, okay, there are people out there who certainly can utilize my services.
Right.
For a classic example was right after the elections. I think the elections this year was it November 8th. After November 8th, I saw more ads come in about vote for me, and even though the election was over, so I saw a lot of politicians didn't understand how to put the schedule on a Facebook post.
Right.
And a lot of these people had just put this Facebook ad together and a Facebook page together just to run for the office and not understand the fact that, okay, you should be really doing this as you go through, as you aspire to become a politician or as you aspire to become a musician or whatever. You can't do it. This is one thing that, you know, the best time to plant a tree is 15 years ago. The second best time is right now.
Right now.
And
one of my
and
favorite
that's,
lines.
And that's the whole, you know, element of it. I've played in bands. I've worked with musicians all around.
Yeah.
And I tell them all the time, listen, establish your brand, establish your personality, what you're going to be. You know, people can't find my personal page on Facebook, but they can find my pro page, my platform, Ben DeCastro. I got the little blue check mark of wonder there.
Yeah, right.
It's, you know, and that's where I put the videos. I made the viral video earlier this summer, 1.3 million views of people watching me hold up cards all about the state of Rhode Island and how it pains me when people eat Dells with a
Welcome back to the Money Talk Show on AM 790, a station for talk and business. Thank you tonight for Nathan Bove, arranging everything for me.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
And thanks for Ben DeCastro for joining us. He's here representing his company, Big Ben Marketing and Consulting. Because these guys are young and hip, we're talking about what's young and hip in the marketing world, which is social media, really. I think it all has a place, but surely this is the cutting edge, and this is probably the future, at least in a big way, going forward for all businesses to know about.
That's right. Ben, I was reading your resume. I noticed that you're a musician, and you play little drums. I am also a musician.
There we go.
And I was just wondering, are there any parallels or lessons that you've learned from playing in the music business, which is also highly driven by entrepreneurship and being self-employed, that you've taken to your new gig here with marketing?
Sure, sure. You know, we were discussing it actually earlier about reaction and crowd reaction, and social media is all about reaction, and sometimes you see something on there that, you know, you make wow, or you see a compilation of videos of, usually it's people, you know, running into a door or something, getting hurt, that people love and laugh. You've got to pay attention to the reaction of your audience and follow what they like.
Right.
And so if you're out playing a show or gig somewhere, and you play a song and all of a sudden the dance floor empties, or people just kind of turn around and, you know, get back to talking and going on their phones, you realize, okay, they don't like that song.
Right, right.
Next time we're not going to play that, or we're going to think twice about that. So it's all about developing the right level of content, the right content, and stuff that people want to see. Because at the end of the day, you know, people can, sure, you can turn down the radio when the commercials are on. I don't want you to. Or you can mute the TV when the commercials are on. Again, don't want you to. But in social media, it's a little different. You can hit the unfollow and block button.
Right, yeah.
And never see anything from that advertiser again.
Yeah.
So you've got to be able to serve up great content. And, you know, we were speaking with your dad. You know, it's great that you're getting back into pottery. And
love it.
It's a passion. It's a hobby of yours. And, you know, on social media, it's not necessarily about you being the expert that you are, which you are. I mean, undoubtedly, you guys have had this show for 25 years. Sure. You know, it's just great. But that casual common observer who's on there wants to figure out a way to relate to you.
Right,
and
sure.
Wants to hear the story.
Like they a real person.
Absolutely. You're a human being. You know, you were talking about your boat
you
earlier.
You have love other than your work.
Absolutely. And when we can tell those stories and relate to them, you're building that relationship with your customer. Because at the end of the day, you know, one of my clients is Safesea. Great organization out of Wickford.
Sure.
They do great work. But if they were to spend on a television commercial, well, not everybody in the state of Rhode Island owns a boat.
No, small percentage.
What'd you figure? Less than 10%?
Less than 10, yeah.
Okay, so 90 cents of every dollar they spend is going to go right out the window. But with some strategic planning, you know, some thoughtful consideration, every time they spend money on Facebook to boost the post, to get the message out there, we are targeting specifically people that are their customer or could potentially be their customer. And when you do that and you really fine-tune that whole process. I was speaking with a client today, and, you know, because they were saying, well, just throw it up there quick. I said, you don't understand. When you do a post, if you're going to put money behind it, you should be spending at least an hour crafting the post, making sure you've got all the tags right, it looks right, and then going in and making sure you're targeting the right person. Right. And getting that number down and finding their behaviors, the demographics, the income, whatever it is, to make sure that you have the best possible chance to work with that customer.
I think that when I see the Mercedes-Benz commercials at Christmas time,
yeah,
you know, that's a product that costs way out of price range for the average person, yet it's on general, but
sure.
they probably target it, I'm sure they target it, you would know this better than I, towards a higher income, older customer, I'm sure.
Sir.
By what TV shows they had run the ads on and not running it where the cartoons are, probably.
Sure, your production value that's out there, but you also, yeah. You know,
You can tell a lot about people just by their age.
Sure.
Meaning young people can't afford boats, nice boats, usually. So yeah. Generally speaking, a boat owner is going to be a little older.
Yeah. There's right. Some of that, and there's some, you know, behaviors and whatnot.
It reminds me of there was a golf tournament recently, and it was the Genesis golf tournament, which is Genesis, the new luxury car that Hyundai
correct.
Produces.
Yeah.
And you'll notice that they didn't call it the Hyundai Golf. Yeah.
Right.
Whatever outing, whatever it was called, right? Because they want to associate their luxury car with a affluent sport. People who play golf usually are making more money.
I would agree. They're above average in income.
Right. Yeah, and that's a unique thing that's happening, especially with social media now, because if you are doing a boosted post, you can actually tag a specific product. Not necessarily, you can tag the manufacturer, but you can also tag a specific product.
Right.
And big in the car industry, big in the athletic clothing or anything that has, you know, like the Air Jordans for Nike, whatever it is. Yeah, it's all that stuff is huge. So, but I one of the things that, you know, I tell people all the time is, you know, if you wanted to buy TV or radio ads, you work with a rep. Mark Zuckerberg essentially said, "Oh, you want to advertise on Facebook? Go ahead, do it yourself. Here you go. It's easy." And they don't. A lot of people don't understand how to get in there and make it work as best as possible for them. So that's really what I try to do on top of the story and curating the content.
I would like to add that in our 30 years of running the SOA Financial Group, there's never been a time when there wasn't a budgeted marketing item.
You got to have it.
It doesn't matter whether we were happy with the results, thought it was working or not. We never stopped.
Yeah, I have a marketing
ever.
I have a marketing budget for myself as well.
It's going to be spent one way or the other. No, nothing stopping it.
Yeah, people have to know who I am in order for people to want to work with and do what I do. I'm just having fun, man. Just having fun.
Now, you can have fun.
Real quick before we go, I want to ask you about a lot of the Facebook marketing like you talked about is free, and so you just gonna learn how to do it. But there are parts of Facebook, right, that there are costs associated. Is that true?
You can boost if you have a business page or you have a what they call a like page.
Yeah.
You can go in through Ad Manager and put stuff up there. If you're a business and you're just putting content up there without spending any money, it better be really, really, really good content that people want to see, and they'll share it organically.
Right.
But if you have, if you want to get the word out there, if you want to grow your audience, if you want to attract new people or give them, you know, more targeted information, you can really work the numbers and with right now, Facebook is the best video value out there, hands down. It is so ridiculously cheap to put video content on Facebook.
Right.
It's insane. Yeah. You're stupid not to if you're running a business.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, we're talking about self-employment tonight. Globally, it's quite a wide variety you'll see across the board. Some of the countries of the world have very, very high. I mentioned earlier Colombia is the highest with 50%, but I suspect there's something evil about that for some reason.
I'm just a little suspicious about that one.
Very good entrepreneurs. Very good entrepreneurs.
Very good entrepreneurs. Anyway, how about countries like Italy and Portugal that have 20 to 25% of their people are self-employed? The U.S. is 6.6, second lowest of the major countries.
Wow.
Yet, I had mentioned in the beginning that I think America is an entrepreneurial spirit and a kind of an attitude, that's not really the case. And what I realized was it was my atmosphere I grew up with that was supportive of it. Personally.
Right. Your personal experience sometimes.
Yeah.
Not
only was my dad self-employed, my mom never really was, but she had the spunk to do it. So I had two parents that both could have done it, I think. And they did do it together. Mom helped Dad, you know, along the way with his business. But she had the drive to do it as well. Self-employment has a lot of other advantages. Nathan and I talk about it all the time that aren't monetary.
Especially if you work from home.
Yeah, and today with all this stuff, a lot of you can do from home.
If my wife's not home, I exercise No Pants Friday. That's always good. Shirtless Tuesday.
It's all sorts of
great opportunities you have there.
Yeah, and it really what I would say is that my experience has been that without a question, if I had to say one thing, it's discipline. You can't quit. You can't give up. You got to believe in what you're doing. And you have to understand it'll take time. And you also have to understand it's not as monitorable as some things are in life.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have a little bit of faith until you get it rolling. This has been the Money Talk Show on Wednesday night. Thank you for setting this up for me, Nathan.
No problem. Thanks to Ben DeCastro for joining us.
And Ben DeCastro from Big Ben Marketing Consulting.
Thank you for having me.
Please come back again.
Absolutely.
We really enjoyed having you. Have a good, safe night, folks, and tune in tomorrow night. Right here on AM 790, of course, for Don Sowa, right here at 5 o'clock.